Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the WoW Raidcast. This is episode 6 with your hosts, Shroomy, Arion, and Brotato.
Thanks.
I love that new nickname.
Brotato.
Yeah, apparently he changed his character name from Kung Pao Panda to Breshoda, and we joined a new raid team, and one of the players in there, he couldn't pronounce it, so he just dubbed him with Brotato.
Yeah.
Well, we've had some changes here recently with our raiding schedule and where we currently raid out of. Arion is still managing his raid team off of Frostbane, but Kung Pao and I have relocated to a new server. We've joined a 25-man hard mode guild over on... what's the name of the server?
Storm Reaver.
Storm Reaver, US. It's a PvP server. And it's fairly, I'm not going to say balanced, but there is a alliance population there. So far, I've not been harassed or bothered by anybody. As a matter of fact, I was doing some dailies out there and bumped into a paladin. And as soon as he saw me, he skedaddled out of there in a hurry. I think we were both attacking the same mob. I finished it and then just waved to him. I'm sure he got credit for the quest, I'm sure. But I don't know. I've not had any issues on the server. Have you encountered anything as far as, like, harassment?
Not really. I've done a little bit myself because I did have one guy try and beat me up, but that was taken care of pretty quickly.
Oh, good. Well, I'm enjoying that. I was a little apprehensive going to the PvP server because I do like to do dailies and quests and such, you know, if it's, you know, something I need as far as, like, the lesser charms or maybe just some valor, some quick valor. And I just don't want to be harassed or, you know, griefed by some alliance guy who's bored and looking for someone to aggravate. But hopefully we won't have too much of that over here. But we joined a guild known as Voss, V-O-S. So far the guild has accepted us, been completely cordial and polite. We got a raid last night, and the dynamic of the group is not a little, I'd say a little above casual, but just enough to, they expect competency, and they've managed to clear some hard mode bosses in the I think probably the last month or two of their progression rating, which is pretty good, and we're enjoying that good bit of progression ourselves. So anything new going on with you, Matt, with your, I think you've got a team over on Skullcrusher that you do on the side, correct?
Yeah, I run my hunter with that guy. I'm actually leveling another warrior over there to try and join with that because I just prefer the warrior class. But we got Dark Animus down, and then Tuesday last night they went ahead and raided and knocked out Iron Khan while I was not there. But congrats to them. They're doing really well and hoping to get Lei Shen down before 5.4 drops.
That's amazing. The progression of that team has really picked up and started to steamroll here recently. You guys are really come a long way.
Yeah, we have, and this happens about every year. It's a group of good real-life friends and some other people have been playing a long time, and they take some time off from time to time, and then when everybody comes back, all of a sudden we just start knocking stuff out right and left. But we're just in one of those grooves right now, and we want to keep it going.
Awesome. Now, Arion, you were telling me before we started the cast that you've got two teams that are boasting hard modes right now running out of your guild. That's two teams, you said?
Yeah, we have our weekday group, and then we have our weekend group. Our weekend group was the first group that started, and then our weekday group has been playing catch-up since they started about a month ago. And the weekdays just completed 1 of 13 hard modes, and the weekends is 2 of 13 hard modes, looking to go 4 of 13 hard modes this week. So it's pretty interesting having two hard mode groups filled with different players talking about stuff in guild.
I'm sure it keeps it pretty competitive as well.
Oh yeah, the couple of classes that cross over, like we have an Eli Shaman in both groups. They'll run LFRs together, and they'll be talking smack to each other. Oh man, I'm gonna get you on this boss. I'm gonna get you on this boss. And you see them post their numbers, and they're holding like 195k on like Horridon, pulling like 240k on Jinrock.
That's amazing.
They're just pushing each other as far as we can, and everything's going pretty good. It's actually surprising for once to be a GM in a place where I don't have to recruit. I don't have to look for people. I have more people than I could ever need, like, coming to me, and more coming in every day. Like, I think we're adding like two or three new members every day that just want to be in the guild and want to start getting into raiding.
That's an awesome place to be. I can't say I've ever had the opportunity to experience that, but it's still rewarding, I would have to say.
Oh, definitely. It's a wonderful experience.
All right, well, if we have any listeners that are currently still over on Earthen Ring, in AIE, Kung Pao and I don't really raid out of that guild anymore. I don't have much affiliation with the people on that server outside of the raid team that my druid is on, Shroomy Boomy. And I do raid, I think, Friday and Saturday night with those guys. We got our first Lei Xing kill just this weekend, this past weekend. I was glad to get the feat of strength. I think it's called Cutting Edge for Lei Xing.
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, ahead of the curve. Is that the same thing?
No, ahead of the curve is the normal one. Cutting Edge is hard mode.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. So what's going on in the raiding world this week? You guys said that they've put out some of the raid teams are looking at the testing of the raiding counters for 5.4.
Yeah, there's just been more PCR testing coming out. I believe they've tested every boss on 10-man normal. Maybe Garrosh hasn't been tested. I'm not 100% sure on that, but most of the bosses have been tested on 10-man normal. So we should get a little bit of 10-man heroic testing, and then 25-man should just be going real, real quick. The video, like, pretty much everywhere, and everyone has videos up, especially the top guilds from the U.S., Blood Legion, Midwinter, whatever guild does Icy Veins. They all have their guide. They're, like, not necessarily guides, but they're videos of the PTR testing. And then from the EU, you have your methods. Method has their videos up and stuff. So anybody interested in looking up those videos, I encourage you, just go to YouTube. Just type in like 5.4 PTR raid testing, and you'll find all the videos for all the bosses. Usually, most of them have the audio from the person's perspective, so you can actually hear what the top end raiders are talking about for the encounters, which is pretty interesting when they're talking about things that you don't think are relevant to the fight, because you're like, oh my god, they're talking about how this mechanic is going to handle in phase 3 when they're still in phase 1. And it gives you a good idea of how the top-end raiders raid, and maybe you can pick up on that for your own raid. I know I have.
So you're able to kind of get a feel of the anticipation?
Yeah, it's... they are the 10-man normal modes, which I raid 10-man. You guys raid 25-man now. But 10-man normal modes are what I think a lot of people end up being able to see, and it just gives you that little extra edge. Not like Ryan Braun getting banned from baseball, extra edge with the steroids, but, you know, just that extra little leg up, more like game film, not steroids.
Yeah, the encounters look like a lot of fun. You know, it's going to be starting in the Vale and transitioning to Org, and I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't done a lot of research myself, but I just watched a couple of videos today, and it looks fun.
So how are they set out? Is it going to be kind of like Tier 14s where you have different instances?
No, you know, I haven't looked into that much, but I believe it's gonna be one big instance, and it's gonna start in the Vale, and then you transition after one of the bosses to Orgrimmar, and from the sounds of it, it's gonna be similar to like Blackwing Descent in terms of layout. You'll have not really wings, but you can kind of pick and choose which one boss you want to do at a time. Which is another big thing I'm looking forward to. And I would assume that the first, 3 or 4 in Vale will be linear, and then some of the ones in Orgrimmar will be kind of the pick and choose ones.
Okay, well, I do enjoy that layout because it kind of takes me back to Tier 13, where you start off in up in Northrend, and then you end up at the Maelstrom, you know, after riding around on Deathwing's back for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you like a sense of variety, really, of your atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you feel like more than you're just like in a cave, like killing a bunch of stuff. You're kind of like moving around the world. The changes to Vale because of the incense are going to be interesting, though. The zone's getting completely redone.
Yeah, I saw that. I was really hoping they were just going to remove the Golden Lotus dailies, but I guess they're going to move them.
No, the whole Golden Pagoda and those statues are all gone.
Yeah.
The dailies are gone. All of them, they become like rare spawns that you can get rep from, but they're like replacing the dailies. Because, like, there's nothing there anymore. Like, Mogoshin Palace is, like, destroyed. Most of it's destroyed, and there's now, like, just, like, this giant crater.
Oh, wow. Well, if you have any achievements left to do in Mogoshin Palace, then get it going.
Yeah, I don't think the incense is going anywhere, but, like, the outside of it just looks completely different.
Oh, okay.
Like, where that big pond is that everybody fishes Jewel Danio out, that's, like, completely gone.
Oh, wow.
Well, where will you fish for those fish, I wonder, since, I mean, they're a key ingredient to the feast.
Oh, there's other water sources in the Vale that drop it, I believe.
Oh, yeah, all the water in the Vale does, but just that's, like, the one big area, because it's kind of in between the two, what is it, the Shrine of Two Moons and then the Shrine of the Seven Stars?
Yep.
For the Alliance, it's in the middle, so it's kind of like everybody flies over it.
I apologize if I seem distracted. I just got the heart for Rathion. I'm currently turning that in and watching him eat it.
Oh, nice.
I'm not going to say anything else about it. I don't want to be a spoiler.
Catch up on your legendary quest, guys. It's an awesome. It's like amazing. It's just 100% amazing.
Yeah, I have yet to do LFR this week, and hopefully get the rest of those. Didn't you get like 6 this week, man?
Yeah, I was on the good side of the RNG boss this week, or last week. On my druid, I managed to go 6 for 6 on Titan Runestones, and wow. I have 10 of 11 on him, and I managed to finish it on my pally just now. So we'll have to go do the next part of this quest and then hopefully get awarded my cape.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Congrats.
So I should get legendary cape on 2 characters this week, unless the RNG boss just kind of poos on me on my druid and doesn't give me one.
Well, you're guaranteed one from Leishan.
Yeah, I need 2, so fingers crossed I'll get one from one of the other 5 bosses.
It's all about that Iron Quan. Iron Quan, he loves you. I don't know why, he always gives me a runestone.
See, I always seem to have better drop chance off of the twin consorts for some reason. I always seem to get one off of... No, I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. Off of Dark Animus.
Really? Dark Animus is interesting.
I don't know why, that he's just always been good to me. Garumu, he's a greedy... Primordius, I don't think has ever given me anything except for a bag of dew. Iron Quan, I've won some stuff off of him, but he's greedy with the shoulder token. And the consorts, I seem to win a fair amount of loot off of them, but no type runestones really, other than my druid last week.
Twin consorts is a fun fight.
I learned how bad I was at drawing last week in LFR, and I decided to... Oh, I'm going to give this drawing thing a chance on my hunter, and oh boy, it was a big fail.
Well, once you kind of learn the, because it'll show you the pattern, like next to your character above their head, and I think you can see it somewhere else too. I think you can see it like on the thing you go and click on. So once you kind of look at that for a few minutes and see how it goes, I was able to do 3 of the 4 on my pally last week, just piddling around. I think it was Chai G. I just couldn't seem to get sorted out. But the other 3 I got right off. And once you do that, it is really cool to see that effect. And honestly, I encourage everybody to peek in there and just give it a shot. Just, you know, just for kicks. Let's see. I'm gonna take a quick look at MMO Champion here, just to see what's new.
There isn't so much news now that it's just PTR stuff waiting for the things to come out.
Yeah.
There's been some class updates with like the monk mana change got replaced. Frost mages had their mastery changed, which looks pretty interesting. Warlocks are having their little like ease of life changes. Arms warriors got a pretty big buff, I think, which is actually needed.
Was that the slam one?
Yeah, slam deals like 1% of its damage to all other enemies during sweeping strikes.
Yeah.
As well as it deals more damage during colossal smash, which I don't know if that's just like to make them a little more competitive, but the slam hitting multiple targets during sweeping strikes is amazing.
Yeah, during Colossus Smash, it'll be good if you have if you don't have Mortal Strike or Overpower up, but Heroic Strike is usually rage dumped in the middle of that anyway, so it'll be interesting to see, though.
It looks like they put up some new vanity items. Some of it is kind of interesting. Some of it's just a complete return of items that were already in the game, like the football. Some other things that just don't really do anything.
We can talk about the transmog items that are on the Blizzard store. Oh my god, microtransactions.
Oh boy.
Well, I like the way that they're going with the microtransactions. I really want them to introduce a cash shop, because I would nickel and dime myself to death, honestly. But they put up the 3 new helms, and they look amazing. I'm not spending $15 on them. They're just not that amazing, in my opinion. I would definitely spend like $1.50 on them if there was those and maybe like 50 other hoods to choose from. Because if you have ever played any of those like free-to-play games and has those cash shops, like, there's tons and tons of items like that to choose from. I think Blizzard just needs to increase their stock and come down in their prices, and they'll probably see a much larger income from that.
Yeah. I mean, Blizzard's also been doing the deals, like the 50% off or like the bundles and stuff. So I wonder if that's like in the future, and this is just like kind of testing the waters with like really cool looking helms. And then it'll be interesting to see where Blizzard takes it, like if this ends up being something where they reduce the monthly fee, or if they just keep it as the current model with very limited cash shop items. It'll be interesting to see the direction that Blizzard's going to take WoW in, because WoW has been such a dominant force for so long with its current model that it's kind of like, you know, what's going to happen when the giant rolls over, because a lot of big changes are going to come in.
Yeah. I personally don't buy anything from the store, but that's not because I don't really want to. It's just more for a money issue. But, you know, I think it's... I like the model. I don't think it's too bad, but it is a little expensive right now for those helms. Pay $15 is a little outrageous, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of your monthly subscription.
Yeah, so you can buy this helm and then sub for a month and then come back.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much of this is affected by Diablo 3's Real Money Auction House. Just because I know you get, like, I believe they're called Blizzard Bucks, and then you can use your Blizzard Bucks at the Blizzard store. So I wonder if this is just kind of their way to give people that have, like, a lot of Blizzard Bucks in Diablo but want to spend it on World of Warcraft, kind of their stopgap. Because currently with the system, for those of you who don't know, you can get Blizzard Bucks, but you can't use Blizzard Bucks to pay for your monthly subscription, which is something a lot of like Diablo 3 players were a little upset about, because, I don't know, I guess they wanted to make playing Diablo pay for their ability to play WoW. So it'll be interesting to see, like, with Blizzard Desktop and how Blizzard has integrated all of their games together, if it's going to be something where you're able to do stuff in WoW that gives you stuff in Diablo that gives you more stuff in StarCraft that then gives you stuff in WoW again. That'll be interesting to see how interconnected everything becomes, especially with microtransactions.
But I've not heard of... Are you talking about the Blizzard wallet?
Yeah, the Blizzard... whatever the Blizzard wallet's called. I think they were called Blizzard Bucks.
I think it's Blizzard wallet. Because I have money sitting in my Blizzard wallet from items that I've sold, but it's not enough to buy anything of value right now. But I could see where that was perceived as a useful way of doing that. If you did generate enough cash in your wallet to spend it on something, that would definitely be a way to go.
Yeah, because I believe that has like a cap of the amount of money you can have. I'm not sure. Like, I don't play Diablo 3, and I haven't used the Real Money Auction House, so I'm not, like, 100% sure on it. But I know a lot of people were complaining that you can't use the Real Money Auction House money, like, that you make to pay for your WoW subscription. You could only use it to buy, like, the, the Celestial Steed and the Blizzard Store pets. So I wonder if this is just, like, another thing for Blizzard to like give those players that want to spend their Blizzard wallet money on World of Warcraft stuff.
Right. Yeah. Well, you have two options. If you do make cash on Blizzard, you can tie a PayPal account to it, or you can just divvy it into your Blizzard wallet. But it would be interesting to know like what people are doing with that money, really. But like you said, I mean, I guess they don't have a whole lot of options right now.
Yeah, it is true. With the amount of inventory available in the store is relatively minimal for the amount of people, you know, that probably want to buy and could afford to buy things out of there. But, you know, I think they're going to start working on it. The helms are a good test. It's a good way to start. Because I know a lot of people, myself included, with some sets, I don't even show my helms or anything. And, you know, if I went out and bought one of these things, I'd be happy to show it off.
I've seen a couple of people in-game with it just as a personal preference. If you play a troll, don't put those helms on your character. You just kind of spoil the helm.
Dim tusks, bro. Dim tusks.
Trolls are just horrible. Anyway,
I saw a troll with the fiery horn helm, and I was like, man, that is a really nice helm, but you need to take it off that troll.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like, I like everything about it, except for you.
I think I'm personally really, really partial to the frost mask looking thing, and how it would look on a DK.
Yeah, that one would be pretty cool. I like the deep red hood helmet thing. I'm a big fan of that, but I don't have a set it would go with.
I would love to see that on a male paladin Tauren. This has like a really nice transmog set on that would match that. I bet it would look amazing.
Yeah, probably. I think the warrior Firelands tier heroic version of the tier would probably match it pretty well. It's that deep red color.
Yeah. That would look really, really cool.
Yeah, male Tauren warrior could probably pull that off really well. So, I can't recall. Have we set out predictions of when we think 5.4 will drop?
Yeah, we did it the week before. I think I called like first week of September, maybe.
Yeah, and I had some time in September as well.
Okay. I can't recall what I said, but currently right now I'm thinking more middle to the end of August. I mean, if they're already testing the raid content, which is one of the last things that they typically do, I can see this content coming pretty soon.
The only argument I would make to that is they typically don't release anything summer-wise, because people are on vacation, they're doing that stuff. And I know school gets back in early August, but I think they'd wait until at least the end of August to drop it out. I mean, obviously, I could be wrong, but
yeah, I would agree with that. I think they're gonna release it in like late August or September, just for like the timing of everything. That'll put TOT out for about 6 months. That'll put the expansion out for about a year. Usually around a year into an expansion is when they start giving out like the free 1 week of World of Warcraft deals to like all their former subscribers. As well as they have BlizzCon coming up in November, the first week of November, in fact. So releasing a brand new raid tier during October would cause a lot of players to be, you know, prioritizing the new raid tier over the new info from BlizzCon. And they kind of don't want BlizzCon to be overshadowed by, like, you just released this new raid tier, you know, we're still excited about this, now we have BlizzCon. They kind of want to, I feel like they want to, like, get the raid tier out, kind of have the newness rubbed off a little bit, and then go into BlizzCon with, like, okay, we're starting to get hungry for something more, Blizzard, let us know, and then they're going to, you know, serve the big fatty 32-ounce steak to us of the next expansion.
Yeah, so I agree with that. My hopes 100%. Because that's what I'm anticipating, is give us the new tier, let us just kind of gorge on it for a month or two, and then we get BlizzCon to kind of feed us the next bit of, you know, thing to look forward to.
As well as, I don't know how many people know about this, because I don't know how many people actually follow Comic-Con in San Diego happened this week. This last week, and at Comic-Con, I don't know how true this is because I haven't seen any videos of it, but a lot of the Twitterverse exploded with news of the World of Warcraft movie teaser trailer. So,
Really?
Yeah, people were talking about how the teaser trailer for Blizzard released their teaser trailer, and it was just like a human walking through the desert. He, like, picks up a shield, like, out of the sand. Like, he finds, like, a body or something and, like, picks up a shield and has, like, the alliance symbol. And then, like, an orc attacks him and then it ends. Like, people said it was, like, real quick, like, 45 seconds. But it was, like, the most amazing thing that people have seen from Twitter. Like, from the people I follow on Twitter, like, Shaw of Happiness and things like that. Big names in the community were talking about it. I believe MMO Champion even did a post about it. And so, you know, there might be a lot of things going on from Blizzard that we haven't really really thought about, because a World of Warcraft movie, you know, I've been hearing about that since Burning Crusade was out. So if there's a WoW movie, like, I'll be at that midnight release. I'll be wearing my For the Horde t-shirt.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's something we can probably almost guaranteed look forward to come BlizzCon. I would be very, very excited to hear about that.
Another thing I think that they'll have at BlizzCon is BlizzCon will have the World Championships for StarCraft 2. So I think to like balance that out with the World of Warcraft is they might have the like a live raid from Blood Legion. I know Blood Legion has all of their members attending, are going to be in attendance at BlizzCon. So I don't know, I just have a stinking suspicion that we're going to see a full like hard mode clear at BlizzCon from a world top guild as part of the attractions of it.
Well, I'm not sure. That they typically just do line something up like that anyway, don't they? Have like a competition. I think last BlizzCon, they had two of the top guilds just run a competition of like who could clear the tier fastest.
Yeah, that was interesting. They had like the speed clear, and I think the difference was like 45 seconds or like something like less than 5 minutes difference between the two guilds.
Yeah, it was very, very close.
And they also had, I think, a Blood Legion versus the devs.
Yeah, at MOP release they did Blood Legion versus the raid testing team for challenge modes.
All right, well, I want to touch on something that's kind of just recently come to my attention, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up. But have you guys had the opportunity to look at, and I just had a brain fart and lost it, had a chance to look at this new thing that they're bringing in 5.4 called Proving Grounds.
Yeah, I've actually had a chance to play around with the Proving Grounds.
Oh, nice. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that looks very interesting.
All right, so the Proving Grounds is basically the test to see, like, I don't want to say it's the competence test, but it's going to become the new standard where, you know, in Wrath it was all about your gear score, and then in Cat it was all about link your achievements. Now it's going to be link your Proving Ground. Proving Grounds, basically what it is you go into the temple in Kunlai Summit, the temple, Zwin's temple, and you're put into a room, like just a circular room, and you're given a task to complete for your class and for your role in the raid, either healer, tank, or DPS. Now, and then you're basically required to do your job. As DPS, you DPS stuff, you move out, you don't stand in fire, you move around. As a tank, you prevent mobs from aggroing to your healer as well as your DPS, and you have to do things like move out of mechanics, interrupt certain mechanics, and then as a healer, you have to keep your party alive as they do like, in my opinion, kind of stupid things that people do. Like, you're given NPCs that are part of your party, so they appear on your raid frames and your party frames, and they're affected by your raid buffs. So if you're a healer, like, you have one NPC is a tank, then you have, like, three NPCs that are your DPS. I believe two are ranged and one's melee, for example. And, like, your tank will stand in fire for a couple of seconds, so you have to heal him through that. And then your DPS will, like, run behind something, so they're LOS on you, and you have to, like, move to adjust to be able to heal them. When you're a tank, like, mobs run in, and your DPS will just, like, rip threat off of you, and they'll go running towards, you know, your DPS. So you have to, like, make sure you can quickly, like, switch targets and pick them up. You have to, like, move around the room so you don't stand in bad stuff. So it's really, to me, it was really similar to being in, like, a five-man. It wasn't necessarily, like, raid-level mechanics, but it was definitely a challenge to complete. It's similar to challenge modes in that there's a bronze time, a silver time, a gold time, and once you complete each level, like, you have to complete the prior level to get the next level, and once you complete gold, you get access to one called Endless, which is just an endless number of waves to see how many waves of tasks you can get through. And it's actually a very intriguing challenge. I'm sure people will figure out, like, the best way to do it for everybody, but it kind of gives you the, like, hey, I want to practice my tanking. Like, I've really always wanted to tank. Like, I play Frost DK, but I really want to learn how to play Blood. It gives you a nice way that you go on your own. You're not going to, like, negatively impact anybody else's game experience, and you just get to practice your tanking. Or, you know, I play Boomkin, but I really want to play Resto Druid. You get to go practice your healing. Like, do you actually know what you're doing as a healer? It kind of gives you the what you've been missing, because it's like five-mans are really, really easy. Most people outgear them. LFR, it's like troll mode, because LFR, nobody pays attention to anything and nothing can kill you. And so you can't really get, like, a feel if you're doing good, because, you know, if you're doing bad, chances are the shaman next to you that's just spamming chain heal is covering your healing, so you don't get a good indication. This gives you that good indication. Like, your gear is scaled down to a certain level, but you can never outgear it. Then the tasks are things that you have to do on a normal basis. Heal people standing in bad stuff, dispel stuff, move out of range of abilities, don't stand in bad stuff, make sure you don't LOS your healers, and things like that. So it's actually probably the best thing that Blizzard's put in to kind of be like, this is how you play the game and do your role correctly, instead of just, like, pressing buttons randomly the way that a lot of players in LFR tend to do.
So it's essentially amazing. A tutorial with at least some kind of reward to it, which is, yeah, I agree, was a brilliant idea. It kind of gives me the feeling of, especially if it'll reward something like charms or even valor, maybe like 5 Valor for every wave that I clear on Endless, something to that effect. Go and do that as a warm-up for an hour before a raid, the way a lot of PvPers are queuing to like 2 or 3 Battlegrounds before they go into Arenas or RBGs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing I like about this is that, and take myself for example, I do a lot of raiding on my warrior and my hunter, but I have a druid, and he's always been resto, and I've always been terrible at him, but I've never learned to play Boomkin, and I'd really like to. So now I can go into and do Boomkin and that, and not have to worry about people trolling me, because I know what I'm doing, I just don't know the class specifics.
Yeah, well, it gives you the opportunity, like when I harped on last week about my druid, you really need time to build the muscle memory of your class and what you're trying to do. And this is just a perfect application of that.
Exactly.
Yep, that's pretty much like exactly what it is. It's literally just like, go in and do your job. Like, just do your job. Learn what you have to do to do your job. And, I mean, there are DPS requirements in that you have to be able to kill the mobs, like, in a certain amount of time. Or you have to be able to heal so much damage. You know, you have to be able to put out so much heals per second or do so many dispels and manage your mana so, like, to a certain point. So it kind of, you know, people always complain, like, oh, I should be able to do whatever. There is the challenge portion of it, where you have to have these minimum requirements. And I know that it's going to turn into, you know, looking for 2 more Siege of Orgrimmar raid, Link achieve or Proving Grounds gold. You know, it's kind of like that minimum.
Yeah, I was going to kind of touch on that because one of the attractive things of this is it's something that you can do without the negative impacts of doing anything else in a group where, like you say, somebody's trolling, or maybe you're in a 5-man and the tank decides, I need to go make pizza, so I'm going to AFK, or your healer's done something to that effect, or your DPS died, they won't run back and they won't take a res, or, you know, your queue just takes forever. And the same application of LFR, this will basically negate that. You can do this by yourself whenever you want to. And I probably way off base here. I don't think Blizzard will ever do anything like this just because they want to move away from this type of thing, but maybe they could even set it up as a, what's the word I'm looking for that they used to have, that you used to have
attunement.
To do before you could raid? Yeah,
it
almost like as an attunement. Like you have to reach a certain level in your Proving Grounds before you can even walk into a raid instance that's of the appropriate, you know, level where we are.
Yeah, it's much better than, then, like, on my server, there are pugs that only kill, like, 4 of 12 normal mode bosses, and their requirements to join are 520 eye level. My warrior is 521 eye level. He's full cleared TOT 4 weeks in a row and has killed 1 of 13 hard modes, and he barely meets the requirements to join those groups in terms of just eye level. And the reason people have such a high eye level requirement is just because I guess people assume that with higher eye level comes higher skill. Eye level isn't really a good indication of a player's skill. It just means that they can get they've accumulated gear and have a certain number of stats. Whereas the Proving Grounds, if you get gold, there is a certain amount of skill on your part of personal skill and like knowledge of your class and what to do that allowed you to get that. It's not just, oh yeah, I got super lucky and the first time I killed Jinrock, a Thunderforge piece dropped that I won on the roll, and then I was able to coin a Thunderforge piece, so I got 2 pieces of 530 gear, and that's what boosted my eye level. Like, boosting your eye level is just, it's all about luck and RNG, whereas achieving something that is a challenge is your personal skill. It's a much better indicator. I think a lot of pugs are going to find it a good way to ensure success as opposed to just recruiting like super high eye levels. I've seen people in 496 gear that can beat people that are 515 geared. It tends to happen a lot, especially people that raid in my groups. They'll go into other groups to pug, and they'll have 10, 15, 20 eye levels lower than other DPS, and they'll be pulling 30, 40k more than them. Because eye level doesn't indicate skill, and this is an actual indication of your skill, similar to like BG ratings and arena ratings.
Yeah, we're definitely in a kind of a strange place of where eye level can make or break you, or in certain cases, not really make much of a difference. But I think the gap of make or break you is basically closed upon entering heroics.
Oh, yeah. Like, heroics is a whole different level of animal. Like, normal modes, you know, you're playing with your domesticated cat and dog in your backyard. Hard modes, you just walked into a lion's cage and the lion is fighting a bear. And then the pack of wolves is hiding in the forest that you don't know about. That's how I feel, at least. I feel like I'm getting beaten, like, with a stick every time I do a hard mode.
Are you a zookeeper in real life?
No, I just happen to... I happen to be looking at cats right now because I really want to get a cat from... I don't know. I just really want a cat.
Well, just don't get the kitty high. All right, everybody. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Arion, how can we keep up with you, sir?
You can keep up with me at twitch.tv/Arion. I stream raids now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern until about 1 to 2 a.m. Eastern time. We will be doing the hard modes. I stream our progression, so you'll be able to see all of the normal modes and all of our hard mode progression attempts. Yeah, that's the best way to keep in touch with me.
What hard modes are you guys currently working on at the moment?
My weekday group is currently working on Jaikun hard mode, and then my weekend group is working on Horridon and Iron Quan.
All right, good deal. And Bro Potato, how can we keep up with you?
Well, I am going to be keeping my Twitter handle at Kung Pao Panda AIE on Twitter. It's just easier. I don't have to switch it up, you know, all the time. And I still have a couple tunes in AIE, so that's the best way to follow me. Now that the move's done, I'm becoming more active on there, so look for me there.
All right, sounds good. And if anyone wants to write in comments, questions, or just yell at us, you can reach us at wowraidcasts@gmail.com. And that's all for today. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.